Well, good morning to the Sunday morning worship service here at Trinity Baptist Church. And we're going to get started this morning and take our red hymn books and turn to page 62. Miss Wanda was playing there, How Great Thou Art, and He is the greatest. And we're going to sing about crowning Him with many crowns. Jesus is coming one day soon in power and glory, and He is going to be, and He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Page 62, all standing if you're able.
Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee. And hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown Him the Lord of love. Behold His hands and side. Rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends His wandering eye at mysteries so bright. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown Him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, with the Spirit through Him given from yonder glorious throne. To Thee be endless praise, for Thou for us hast died. Be Thou, O Lord, through endless days adored and magnified.
And the Lord's people said, amen. And hey, to go along with that wonderful song, Crown Him with Many Crowns, our scripture reading this morning is found in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. And there the scripture says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness He doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on His head were many crowns. And He had a name written that no man knew but He Himself. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it He should smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress in the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Pastor?
One of my favorite songs and one of my favorite verses right there. Father, this morning as we meet, I pray, Father, You manifest Your presence in a mighty way. We long and pray for the day when our authorities will give us the go-ahead to meet collectively in this church house. We know the church is the people, but, Lord, we know we're to gather on the Lord's day. And, Lord, I just pray You encourage these here today, and those that are at home that want to be here but can't be here. So speak to us today about current events and how they line up with the Word of God. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. 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 You may be seated. I do want to welcome you from our undisclosed location with our underground bunker as we broadcast live from the Trinity Facebook Media Corporation. But I want to make some announcements to you, if you will. I'm encouraged this week about what I hear about our authorities wanting to gradually open up the economy in a smart way. And there are some places that can begin to open up. And we're also encouraged by the projected death rate. It almost seemed like they're just trying to scare us to death to keep us in the house beginning. But it's projected death rate is like 60,000 right now, similar to the flu. And we're encouraged by that, and we're encouraged by you being smart and being careful and maintaining social distancing. We got one person here today who went rogue on us and wanted to get around everybody, but we're going to direct him. Yeah, they said they're watching. Because the people's writing is there.
No, you're not on the screen page. You're on your Facebook.
Can y'all see us at home?
Everybody. They can see you, but you're on Facebook and not on the Trinity page.
Okay, does it matter?
Well, if they're waiting on Trinity page to see you, you're on Facebook Live where all your friends are in the world, where your friends are.
Oh, I don't have no friends. Well, sorry about that, but they didn't hear nothing I said up to this point, which is probably good. Okay. Well, we're encouraged by all of you being here today. We finally got it wrong. I was on the Trinity Baptist site, my site, and instead of the Facebook secret page. So we're good to go now. So, Pelosi, you can't look at us no more, right? But anyway, we do want to welcome you and gathering here in an undisclosed bunker as we begin our worship this morning. I am so encouraged by Attorney General Barr and the courts that have overturned many of the states, the Democratic governors, and their unconstitutional restrictions on some of the churches and people, such as giving tickets to people in the parking lots of churches that were in their car. So that's been overturned, and we're glad about that this morning. We'll continue to broadcast live through this Chinese virus, and we do encourage you to tune in. I noticed something. I don't explore the Facebook page that much, just our page, but to get to it, you see other things. And I'm seeing all kind of weird posts by charismatics and prosperity gospel preachers that take scriptures out of context and name it, claim it bunch, right? And the bad theology, so don't pay no attention to that. I do have an announcement to make. Jean Griner has a new granddaughter, Ivory Grace, the child of Ansley, Robbie's daughter, and they're in North Georgia, so we congratulate them and also Miss Jean on her new granddaughter. We also have a couple anniversaries this week. Tuesday, John and Felicia be celebrating 13 years of marriage. Doesn't seem like 13 years, does it? Yeah. Okay. Felicia's shaking her head, but John's not. But And then Thursday, Teresa and Billy Tanner celebrate their 39th year together. So let's give them a hand. And again, we'll continue to send out the bulletin, a copy of the bulletin. Y'all get the copy of the bulletin this week that I sent out. And so we want to continue to do that every Thursday, okay? All right, let's see what we got next here on the agenda. We started out wrong, but we're just going to have our praise and prayer today. Anybody got any praise reports today? Anybody present got any? I call y'all the in-house, and those others are the outhouse church, okay? So what's your praise report, Tina?
I lost 18
pounds. Tina has lost 18 pounds. Okay, good. And even in being in isolation? Okay. Wow, that's great. And we praise the Lord for that. I do have some prayer requests here. We want to mention Martha Grayson in our prayers. We're praying for her physically and spiritually and emotionally, and I know she's frustrated and she's having trouble with her blood pressure, so we want to pray for her. We want to pray for Jack and Margene Boyd. Jack did see his doctor through FaceTime this week, and they gave him some more heart medicine, and they're going to put him on a heart monitor again. We want to pray for Cindy Woodward, Frank's daughter, that's waiting for the lab reports back so they can determine the plan of action and what kind of therapy they're going to give her from the breast cancer. So she's still waiting on that, right, Brother Frank?
Yes.
Okay. And we want to remember Tammy Beasley. I got I saw a post on our Facebook page from Chevy that Tammy has a fever. And with all her medical problems, she doesn't need a fever. So we want to lift her up as well. We want to pray for Joe Weaver and Camilla Rehab. He left Archibald this past week, and Archibald and his wife Kathy also left. Turned out she didn't have coronavirus. She had pneumonia, but I think she went home, and Joe is in rehab in Camilla. He did have the coronavirus. And pray for Elizabeth Draughty and the Rose City Health and Rehab. We need to pray hard for our people in the nursing homes. They're in lockdown. The families can't see them, and it's just terrible. And we need to pray for her because her health is going down, and pray for Marcus and Inez as they make some difficult choices, okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray this morning for Martha Grayson. Lord, I pray you just minister to her, grace upon grace, lift her up this morning. We pray that she's able to watch the broadcast today or sometime later. And Lord, I just pray for today for her. Just give her a portion of your grace and your strength. Pray for Robert and Melissa as caregivers too as well. They need that. And we pray today for Jack Boyd as he is on this new medicine, Eliquis. And we pray for his AFib. And we pray, Father, that he'll get this heart monitor. And again, he'll wear that. I know this will be the third time, I believe, since he's wore one since he's been here. So we pray for Jack and Margene today. We pray for Cindy. I know it's an anxious time of waiting for lab reports and to see what kind of plan of action and the oncology is going to do. So we pray for her and her family today. We pray for Tammy Beasley. And Lord, we just pray you take this fever from her. Lord, we pray it's just from some other infection, some other illness, Lord. And we just pray for her healing today. We pray for her family as well, for Tommy and for Chevy and all of her family, her sister and other family members. And we pray today for Joe Weaver. We pray his rehab and Camilla to go well and be home soon. We pray for Kathy, his wife, that's also at home. We pray you continue to heal her from that pneumonia. And we pray for Elizabeth Draughty at Rose City Health and Rehab. Lord, I pray that you give her peace and comfort and mercy in these last hours, and pray for her family. I know they can go to the window outside of a room and look in, but she may not know they're looking at her, but Lord, at least that'll bring them some kind of solace. And Lord, we just pray for that and pray that she's in your hands and in this time. So we just want to pray for our meeting today, and we ask all these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right.
All right, we're going to sing another song this morning, and we're going to take our hymn books and turn to page 63. Page 63, take the name of Jesus with you. You know, we take the Lord with us everywhere we go because He dwells within us. The Bible says, for He has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so the presence of the Lord Jesus goes with us, but are we taking that name, proclaiming that name the way that we should? Let's keep that in mind everywhere we go, particularly in this great time of need. Let's take the name of Jesus with you. Page 63. And we'll receive our offering as this song plays as well. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy. When His loving arms receive us and His songs our tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at His feet. King of kings in heaven will crown Him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh, how sweet. Hope of earth and joy of heaven. Amen.
Let me remind you that you can still give your tithes and offerings to the church by mailing it in to the address, or appreciate those that come and do it here this morning, but we're looking forward to the time we can all be together again. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. We're going to go ahead in Matthew from Matthew chapter 5. We're going to go back to chapter 5 after all this is over. But I thought it would be very appropriate and timely to go look at the last teaching of our Lord in Matthew, the Olivet Discourse. It's a prophetic sermon by our Lord concerning the tribulation period and the signs leading up to His second coming. One thing you need to understand, and I've taught you all this before, but we're going to teach you again, the rapture is not in Matthew 24. It is a passage that deals with signs of His tribulation and signs of His second coming. That was not revealed to Apostle Paul later on. So these are not rapture signs, they're tribulation signs. The rapture could take place at any moment. And we're living in the shadows right now. And I'm going to share with you the shadows and the substance that are in this first 14 verses. Well, we're going to go down to verse 7. I want to get to verse 7 because that deals with diseases. So let me, before I get into the text, let me share with you a popular outline of the book of Matthew chapter 24. Now, there are some Bible scholars that may differ on different verses, but let me show you one in particular. Look at Matthew chapter 23. Look in verses 38 and 39. Jesus says, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Why? They rejected the Messiah, and the temple would be destroyed. They have no temple today. "For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till they say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." That is a second coming passage. So that's not a rapture passage. That happened in the Gospels when Jesus went into Jerusalem. But we also see it in Psalms 118, verse 26, prophetically. So when Jesus goes into the temple at his second coming, he will fulfill Psalms 118, verse 26. And Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. By the way, being that verse is there, verse 38 and 39, that lets us know that this is a Jewish flavor passage. Everything here is about the Jews. He's talking about the signs of the second coming, the signs of the tribulation period. Now let's read, first of all, the first three verses of Matthew 24. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple." You know, what a magnificent temple. You know, it's possible that we worship the church more than we do the head of the church. You know that? Yeah. And that's very possible. And that's what they were going to brag on, the temple to Jesus. And he was the temple. Look in verse 2. "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Boy, what are you talking about, Jesus? This is the temple. And you're talking about it's going to be thrown down. "And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately." They wanted to know more. "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And so Jesus begins to tell them, and we'll finish that out in just a moment. Father, I pray this morning as we look at this passage, as I hear a lot of people talking, a lot of people on Facebook, a lot of people on social media talking about the Bible is fulfilling itself, and it certainly is, but what place do these events that are happening right now have in the Bible? What does it mean prophetically? You know, what's going on? And Father, I do know you're a God of love, but I also know that I am about getting aggravated with people saying God is not judging us, because the tribulation period is the judgment of God. And even the shadows are the judgment of God. And you're trying to show us and get our attention to repent before we likewise perish. So, Father, today, teach us from your word, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Now, let me give you a quick outline of Matthew 24 and the tribulation. First of all, of course, the rapture takes place. The first half of the tribulation is in Matthew 24, 1 through 14, many believe. The midpoint of the tribulation is in verse 15, when the Antichrist causes the false prophet to set up the image of the Antichrist in the temple, the rebuilt temple, after the church is gone, and it causes it to speak. That's the mid part. That's prophecy fulfilled in Daniel. That's the mid part of the tribulation period, 7 years. And then the last half, or the last 7 years of tribulation, is found in verse 16 through 26. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. And then the second coming in verses 27 through 31, or you see it also in Revelation 19, also in Zechariah 12, 13, and 14. And then the rest of Matthew 24, once you determine that the rapture of the church is not in Matthew 24, you see that the rest of the admonitions of readiness and watchfulness is not particularly for the church, although we look at the shadows, but it's pertaining to the Jews. Now, Jesus asked two questions in verse 3. Now, some people say three, but you can put question 2 and 3 together. Notice what he asked. They said, they talked about the buildings of the temple, and he said, "See all these things, verily I say unto you," in verse 2, "there shall not be one stone upon another, shall be thrown down." And then they asked, they wanted to know more. In verse 3, "And he sat upon a temple, the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And then what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world, or the end of the age?" tell us, when shall these things be? Well, Matthew doesn't answer that, but Luke does. In Luke chapter 21, verse 20, you can look at that later. But the destruction of the temple was not in their on their eschatological radar. They didn't know anything about the church age. They didn't know anything about the rapture. That's not revealed until the church by the Apostle Paul. They were concerned about the kingdom. He was to bring in the kingdom. How is it possible that this temple would be destroyed and not one stone be left upon another? Now, you've got to realize, I don't want to go in too deep about how the temple was destroyed, but many people estimate that these stones in this temple were 40 feet by 12 feet by 12 feet. And that's an amazing, that's an architectural miracle right there. And how they were melted by Titus, the Roman general, and how the gold that overlaid it was melted, and the stones were pushed over into the Valley of Kindron. And just like Jesus said, there would not be one stone left upon another. And that happened in A.D. 70. And then they asked a second question. What shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? Now, the Greek word for world there is the world where we get the word age. Okay? In other words, what he's not talking about the new heavens and the earth. They're asking him, what are the signs of thy coming and the end of the age? In other words, the age that is right, the last thing that happened right before the millennial kingdom. And so they're asking him this question. And he gives that answer in 24:4-31. Now, you're going to have to bear with me today because this, I want to be able to get this to y'all, but I may go a little longer than I used to. But Jesus gives them the signs of the tribulation that lead up to the return and the kingdom. Now, these signs are present in the church age. What we're seeing right now are the shadows, a malformation of the substance that is to come in the tribulation period. So today we're going to examine some general signs, three of the six today, and next week we'll look at the last ones. And they're called in verse 8. Notice what Jesus called them. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. That word sorrows there is talking about birth pains. It's talking about travail. That's what the Greek word means. It means like a woman in birth pains, a woman in travail in childbirth. And we see this here, that the word is mentioned four times in the New Testament, the word sorrows, and it means, again, labor pains or travail. And so what is Jesus saying here? The world is pregnant with judgment, right up to the point of the return of Christ. And so what you're seeing now are shadows of the labor pains that were going to grow more severe and the sorrows that will grow more severe in the tribulation period. We will be raptured at this time. One time that it's mentioned here is in 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3. I love that passage because Paul just gets through talking about the rapture of the church. And then he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly, he had taught them this, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord is a reference to the tribulation. It's not a reference to the rapture. So cometh as a thief in the night. Now listen, do you people that put on Facebook, Jesus is not coming for the church as a thief in the night. He's coming to rescue his bride. Amen? He comes as a thief in the night at Armageddon. For when they shall say peace and safety, see, they think everything's okay. Peace and safety. We're rid of the church. We've ushered in this peace treaty with Israel. And everything's at peace and everything's hunky-dory. Notice what he says. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. There it is. As travail upon a woman with child. Sorrows, back in Matthew 24:8. And they shall not escape. So what I want to do for you today is share with you the first three of the six labor pains leading up to the coming of the Lord. And they're found, we're going to look at them in verses 4-7. Jesus gave six distinct signs, and we're going to look at three this morning. Again, once you understand that what you're seeing now is shadows of the fulfillment, shadows of the substance to come. Just like, okay, if the shadows get longer you know that the substance is closer, right? And we see the lengthening of the shadows. So Jesus, what? He can come any moment from the church. And so this is what he's saying. Now, let's look at the first sign. Again, we can see shadows today, but we're going to be looking at the shadows and the substance, okay? Look in verses 4 and 5. Increase in false Christ or antichrist. Look in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, you know about the proliferation of false teachers and prophets and false teaching and even people claiming to be Christ. And what we're seeing today in the church age is shadows of what's going to grow worse in the tribulation period. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 says, little children, it's the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Now, he doesn't come until after the church is raptured. That's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Now, even there are many Antichrists. Anybody that is against Christ or a counterfeit Christ or hates Christ is an Antichrist. We have them all in our Congress, amen? Whereby you know that it's the last time. There have been plenty of false Christs, and even before the time of Jesus throughout the church age. Now, we've seen the shadows, haven't we? We've seen people like Sun Moon, people like David Koresh, right? Waco. He claimed to be the Messiah. We've seen Jim Jones, right? In Uganda, I believe it was. You see, not only the followers of David Koresh and Jim Jones, they had mind control of the people, and they drank the Kool-Aid, right? And they're not here today. Another one was Marshall Applewhite. You remember Heaven's Gate cult in California, I believe it was? He had them all drink the Kool-Aid again, and then they all died waiting for Halley's Comet to come pick them up. Well, somebody picked them up, but it wasn't Halley's Comet. So we see the shadows. You get it? We see the shadows. But what about the substance in the tribulation? Well, deception will reach its fulfillment in the tribulation period. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 12, we don't have time to read it today, but it tells us that the Holy Spirit will be taken out, his restraining power will be taken out before the man of sin is revealed. And all hell will break loose on earth. The restrainer. Now, the restrainer is a he, and he is a what? A he, because it's the Holy Spirit, and a what, because it's the church. Now, the Holy Spirit won't be taken out in the tribulation period because people need the Holy Spirit to get saved. But indwelling the church will be taken out. And so we're leading up to that time. So the epitome of false Christ is the coming what? Of the Antichrist. He is against and instead of Christ. He's a counterfeit. And all these false teachers, all these false prophets, all these people who claim to be the Messiah, they're all leading up to the substance in the tribulation period. Now, what I want you to do is hold your place in Matthew 24. And we're going to be going back and forth from Matthew 24 to Revelation 6. So I'll give you some time to go to Revelation chapter 6. I hope you're not as slow as I was this past Wednesday night, but as it turned out, I was justified in what I was doing. And I won't go into details on that. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What is the fulfillment? What is the substance of all these shadows that we see today about false Christ and false messiahs? Well, in Revelation chapter 6, we see a parallel. And it says, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, it was a noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. By the way, here it is. Who opens up the seal, seven seal judgment? It's not Satan. It's the Lord himself bringing judgment, right? I saw the Lamb opened up. By the way, in Revelation 6, the church is raptured in Revelation 4. We're in heaven, 4 and 5. Then the tribulation begins. Okay? And I saw and behold a white horse. Now, this is not Christ. That's not till Revelation 19. This is another person. And I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. This one is the coming of the Antichrist. He comes to conquer and conquest. He had a bow, but no arrows, right? He has a peace treaty in his hand. Been signed, why? Because the church is gone, and And Israel signs this peace treaty with this man who promised it protection. And you'll see more about that in Revelation 13, 1 through 10, as you see the first beast coming on the scene. Second beast comes in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. So you get that the first sign is increase in false Christ and Antichrist. And you can agree with your pastor today that we see this today in the very days we're living in. The shadow, but not the fulfillment.
Right.
Now, look at the second sign in verse 4 through 7. Increase in hearing of wars and rumors of wars. Again, this is why words are important. Look again in verse 6. And you shall what? Hear of wars and rumors of wars, and you shall don't be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So he's saying here the second shadow, the second birth pain that's going to grow increasingly worse is the hearing of wars and the rumors of wars. And we see the shadows today in the church age. In fact, the verb tense suggests continual action. You will be hearing continually. You wake up and hear the news every morning. Some nation is upset with another nation. And hearing of wars and rumors of wars. And they will escalate till the end. I looked it up again, and the death toll, if you can trust the internet, the American death toll in wars from the Revolutionary War to the war in Afghanistan totaled 2.7 million plus. That's amazing. And we're worried about a virus. 2.7 million. So we see the shadows. Now, what is the substance? Well, it's in the tribulation period. Now, go back to Revelation chapter 6. Look in verses 3 and 4. We see the second seal opened up. Revelation chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, the second beast said, "Come and see." And they went out. You ever wondered where the Christmas carol got it saying, "Come and see"? I think they got right out of Revelation, don't you? And they went out. Another horse was red, a horse of war. And powers given him that he sat thereon to take peace from the earth. And they shall kill one another. And they was given to him a great sword. Now, the population of the earth right now is 7.8 million people. So if you look at Revelation 6:8, say a fourth of the world is going to be killed. And if it happened right now, that would be 1.9 million people will be killed right here in Revelation chapter 6. But all these wars lead up to the mother of all wars. Tell me, what war is that?
Armageddon,
right? Revelation 16, Revelation 19. That happens at the end of the tribulation period. When all the armies of the world, all of the armies of the world, America too, are gathered on the plain of Megiddo to do battle with the Antichrist and with Christ himself when he comes. And the Bible says there's going to be an army of 200 million that's going to cross the Euphrates to come over. We're not going to be rid of China until Armageddon. I'll just say it that way. Armageddon will kill an army of over 200 million alone, along with all the other armies of the world. And what Christ does not destroy in his second coming, the rest of them be cast into hell. They will not be entered the millennial kingdom. So you see an increase in wars. And then the third sign, this will be the last one this morning. We'll look at the other ones next Sunday morning. An increase in disasters, I call it. You can call it chaos, whatever you want to call it. People have different names for them. But look in the latter part of verse 7. Let's read verse 7 again. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That's the second birth pain. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. We know that to be true today, right? Hurricanes and tornadoes, right? In places we didn't even expect. So we're in the shadows. We're in the shadows. Luke says it this way. In Luke chapter 21, verse 11, he adds an additional detail. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. Of course, that will be at the return of Christ. Wars and famines and death will lead to pandemics and epidemics. These signs will reach epic proportions in the tribulation. Now, it's interesting that the word pestilence is, if you have the King James Bible, the word is in your Bible. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't have a King James Bible or a New King James Bible, all the other translations leave out the word pestilence. But pestilence is in the King James, and that's what we're going to believe, right?
Amen.
Pestilence means diseases and plagues. Any deadly, infectious, or contagious malady. And guess what? One lab worker in Wuhan, China, and a lab that was experimenting with viruses, they don't believe it was an actual bioweapon that was released on purpose, but what China has done after that has been on purpose. Bitten by a bat, this one lab worker, which we have not seen or heard of, China got rid of him. And what did they do? They locked down Wuhan. They kept the virus spreading to the rest of China. But what did they do? They did not stop their planes from going to America and to Europe. And now from one man getting bit by a bat in this viral lab in Wuhan, 159,000 people are dead today because of that. Now, whether it was a intentional release, and I wouldn't put it past China to kill their own people, to kill ours. But I'm telling you, if it was not intentional, it was an accident, they are still liable for it because they let it get out of China.
Yes.
And that really upsets me. And any liberal, any Democrat, radical Democrat, and any kind of person that would side with China over this is anti-American. They're against America. Of course, we know that all along, right?
Right.
Now, what is the substance of all this? If it's going to be this bad in the shadows, what about the substance? Now, go back over to Revelation chapter 6, 5 and 6. Revelation 6, 5 and 6. Remember that the sealed judgments in Revelation 6, 1 through 17 directly parallel Matthew 24. Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see," and beheld, and lo, a black horse. White horse is conquering, quest. Red horse is war. Black horse is death. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil in the wine." Now, we see the shadows today, don't we? When you check out at the counter, you have a barcode, right? You have scanners. They have chips, right? All this is shadows of the fulfillment that's going to come in tribulation. They're all shadows of the mark of the beast that you must take if you're going to buy or sell. Of course, it's not a church age mark. It's a tribulation mark. It's not for us. There's nothing wrong with checking out at the counter, but I'm telling you, the technology is there where they're going to use it. The Antichrist is going to use it to have everybody bow to him, except the church. Now, have you heard talk of a national indemnity card? In other words, they want to give everybody a certain card if they had the virus and they survived the virus. Guess what that is? That's a shadow of what is to come. Have you heard of them talking about giving everybody that survived the virus and built up an immunity, giving them a pink armband that they can put on their sleeve to let everybody know that they are part of the ones that have the antibodies in their body? Folks, all this is preparatory toward the mark of the beast.
That's right.
That's going to happen in the tribulation period. Now, these are not natural disasters, but judgments from God.
Right.
Don't tell your pastor that God's not judging, because he is.
Amen.
Because these are shadows of the substance to come.
That's right.
Revelation chapter 6, 1 through 17. Because what? It's Jesus opening the seals. It's not Satan, right? It's Jesus. It's the angels, what? That blow the trumpets and bring those judgments. Trumpet judgments. It's the angels, again, that pour out the vial or the bowl judgments during the tribulation period. So I don't want to hear nobody tell this pastor that God's a God of love and he won't judge. These are shadows of the substance. And we need to remember that. These are birth pains to the coming tribulation and second coming. That's where we're at, church. This is where we're at. We are in the shadows of the substance. And one of the things we're seeing right now with this virus is a promise of that's found in Matthew 24, verse 7.
Right.
Increased pestilences that are coming our way. By the way, if we're in the shadows, this is not going to be in the end of the shadows until we're out of here. They're going to be a coronavirus number 20. Number 21,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I meant to encourage you today because I want to tell you where we're at. Now, if you walk away and you're fearful of the Word of God, man, that ought to be shouting ground because we know that God's Word is true and God is true and He will carry it out just like He said He will.
Yeah.
And we're going to be out of here. So these are not signs of the rapture. The rapture could take place at any moment.
Yeah.
These are signs of the coming tribulation. And the second coming. So we've seen the first three this morning, labor pains, false Christ and antichrist, increase in hearing of wars and rumors of wars, and increase in disasters. You know what I would say to anybody that's listening? If you're not saved, you need to repent so you won't likewise perish.
Yeah.
You need to repent. You need to come to Jesus Christ and believe in Him. Prophecy is fulfilling, but it's the shadow, not the substance. I believe strongly, and I'm sure Brother Glenn does too, in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church.
Absolutely.
And I've taught that here. I've taught that here, and I've taught that here. But as these shadows get longer, we know that the rapture is closer, right?
Amen.
If I was to walk out there today and there was somebody coming around this way, in the corner of the building, if the sun was shining, I could see their shadows that they're about getting closer to the corner there, right? And the shadow gets longer, I know I'm fixing to run into them.
Yep.
Right? And that's what we're seeing, folks. The shadows are going to get longer and longer until the substance happens in the tribulation. If you're not right with God, you need to get right now. If you're not right with God, you need to call on your family and your relatives. Tell them what I've told you this morning. That this is the shadows of the substance that come. And you better be looking for the rapture at any moment because Christ will take us out and we'll go home to be with Him. It's written all over Revelation. It's written all over 1 Thess and 2 Thessalonians. The rapture is not, the tribulation is not for the bride of Christ. Brother Glenn, you ever hear of a famous English preacher called John Phillips?
Yes, sir.
And I know y'all others have here. He says, listen, Christ will not beat up His bride before He takes her home, right?
Amen.
Right? We are the bride of Christ. The tribulation is for Christ rejecters. It's to purge this earth for the millennial reign. Folks, it's not for the church. But you need to get saved today to make sure that you'll be going in the rapture. Let's bow our heads. Father, I pray for these that are present today. I pray for those that are listening at home. I pray that there would be some kind of way that they can, I'm not socially inclined as far as media goes, but some way that they can get this out to their friends and their loved ones, Lord, and so they can watch as well. But Father, today I just pray for our people that we'll be faithful and strong in these last days. And we look forward to the time when the church can meet again. Lord, our constitutional and Christian liberties are being violated. The courts in Kansas overturned a rule by the governor that no more than 10 people can meet at the time at church. And Lord, that's what we're under in Georgia. I pray that you move in the heart of Governor Kemp, that he will lift that for us April the 30th. And Lord, I just pray we'll be able to meet again and be faithful and be truthful and get the word out as we get closer to the end. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother